الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين أما بعد. In our previous class, we had read some benefits of the noble scholar, الشيخ النجمي رحمه الله تعالى, with regards to the woman leaving her home and seeking an education and hoping to obtain degrees and certificates and the likes in order to have a career and an occupation and leave off the purpose and the wisdom from her very creation, which was to be a means of ease and peace and stability for her husband and her home, and to be a mother and caretaker and teacher and cultivator for her children, and to cooperate with her husband upon raising a family upon piety and righteousness. So we have seen this affair and the issues that the Shaykh presented, rahimahullahu ta'ala, and in reality, for the one who pays attention to them and listens in detail, he will find, or she will find, that his points are very clear. And this is the case with regards to the fundamentals and the foundation of that affair. Bi-ithnillahi ta'ala, in this class we discuss a number of issues with regards to what had come, some inquiries from the previous class. And in the class to come, inshallah, there will be more details. Today there will be a general reminder and clarification of some of those affairs that had come from the inquiries of those who listened, and we will discuss that. But first I remind my noble sisters, may Allah bless you all and increase you in good, that a believer in this life is tried with commandments and prohibitions. They are related to the eyes and to the tongue and to the hands, commandments and prohibitions that are related to the heart. And we are held accountable with regards to these affairs. And we will return back to the one who created our eyes and created our hands and created our hearts, subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he will hold us to account. Allah, he mentioned in his book, وَذَكِّرْ فَإِنَّ ذِكْرَى تَنْفَعُ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ, and remind and admonish the people, because indeed the reminder or the admonishment, it benefits those who believe. It benefits the believers. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he mentioned the description of the believer, male and female, in his book, Subhana. And he says, وَمَا كَانَ لِمُؤْمِنٍ وَلَا مُؤْمِنَ إِذَا قَضَى اللَّهُ وَرَسُولُهُ أَمْرًا أَنْ يَكُونَ لَهُمُ الْخِيَرَةُ مِنْ أَمْرِهِمْ وَمَنْ يَعْصِ اللَّهَ وَرَسُولَهُ فَقَدْ ضَلَّ ضَلَالًا مُبِينًا فَقَدْ ضَلَّ ضَلَالًا مُبِينًا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he says, and the meaning of which is, it is not for a believer, man or a woman, and it is not for a believing man nor a believing woman, whenever Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam have decreed a matter, that they should have any option in their decision. That they should have any option in their decision, meaning that they should comply whenever they learn and become aware of the command and the decree and the ruling of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the person who is described with faith, the person who is described with faith, the male and the female, the mu'min and the mu'mina, their faith will prohibit them from having any other decision in the affair. Any that's contrary to that which is decreed and commanded and ordered and ordained by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and clarified by His Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And then Allah, He says, and whoever disobeys Allah, and this is a threat, and this is a threat, and whoever disobeys Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he has indeed strayed into afar, and he has indeed strayed into plain error, and into clear misguidance. So disobeying Allah and disobeying the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is clear misguidance. So the one who is described with faith, the one who has al-Iman, whatever it is nourished and cultivated properly and kept safe and clean and strong, then this faith here will carry the believing man and the believing woman, the believing male and the believing female. This faith here will carry the believing male and the believing female to hasten and to rush in the avenues that will lead to the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That will lead to the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Likewise, that faith, may Allah bless you, my noble sisters, will carry the person as well, male and female, to avoid and stay away from the things that will earn the anger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. يَهْدِيهِمْ رَبُّهُمْ بِإِيمَانِهِمْ. Their Lord guides them by way of their faith. This is whenever the faith is correct. This is whenever the faith is cultivated and planted deep in the heart and rooted firm. And whenever it is strong and preserved and cared for. And cared for, this is the issue of the faith. At this time, a person, he will be as described in this noble verse. وَمَا كَانَ لِمُؤْمِنٍ وَلَا مُؤْمِنَةٍ إِذَا قَضَى اللَّهُ وَرَسُولُهُ أَمْرًا أَنْ يَكُونَ لَهُمُ الْخِيَرَةُ مِنْ أَمْرِهِمْ. That it's not for a believing male nor a believing female, that whenever Allah and His Messenger decree an affair and they order a command, that they would have any decision in the matter whatsoever. Rather, they will say, سَمِعْنَا وَأَطَعْنَا. And this is the way of a believer, of a Muslim in this life. He submits, and that's the meaning of al-Islam, submission. Al-Istislamu lillahi bit-tawheed. وَالْإِنْقِيَادُ لَهُ بِالطَّاعَةِ وَالْبَرَاءَةُ مِنَ الشِّرْكِ وَأَهْلِهِ. So this is the case. This is how we must be, my noble sisters. We must be Muslims. We must be obedient to Allah and His Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and single out Allah alone with worship, with love, and hope, and sincerity, and trust, and reliance, and fear, and sincere faith, and comply to His commandments. Comply to Him with obedience, and this necessitates the obedience of the Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and taking Him as a role model, the male and the female, following the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and freeing oneself from the pagans and the polytheists and the disbelievers and their way, freeing oneself from them and their way. This is the case of a Muslim in this life. There are a number of verses that clarify this issue. I suffice with the mention of one as a reminder. Any of the obligation of the believer to comply to the commandments of Allah. And this means to perform the obligations and avoid the prohibitions, hoping for his reward and fearing his punishment according to the sunnah of the Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, complying likewise to the commandments of the Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Also, in my reminder for you today, my noble sisters, may Allah increase you in good and grant you a beautiful and proper and upright understanding of his religion, we must beware and we must be cautious from following our desires. Because from the test of this life is that we have desires. We have al-hawa. We have al-hawa. The people of knowledge, from them, the great tabi'i, al-sha'bi, rahimahullah, he died in the year 109. He mentioned al-hawa, sumiya hawan, liyannahu yahwi bi sahibihi finnar. Liyannahu yahwi bi sahibihi finnar. The hawa is called hawa because it will land a person that follows it into the hellfire. And those who follow their desires and follow their lusts and their whims, they will fall into the hellfire. And this is the case of following the whims and the desires. And those who follow their whims and the desires and their desires, this will lead them to not have the proper understanding in the religion. And they'll become blinded and they'll not be able to see the truth. And they'll not be able to hear the truth. And they'll be confused in this affair, waliyadu billah, because of desires and following the whims and the lusts and doing what one likes. And even a person, he can be following the legislation of Islam outwardly, but in reality he's following or she's following his or her desires. And this is whenever a person, he picks and chooses from the legislation that which they follow. If it's in accordance to that which they like and that which they want and that which they deem to be nice, they follow it and they apply it from the way of al-Islam and from the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And if it's not in accordance with their desires and not in accordance with their whims and what they like and what they want, then they will find a way out from that. And from that is they will search for fatawa of the ulama to find different ways to say, oh, well, Sheikh so-and-so said this and Sheikh so-and-so said that. And in reality, they're just following their desires. So even at this time, this type of person, the people of knowledge have mentioned that whenever they're following the truth, even if they perform the action that is correct and it's the truth, in reality, is still following his desires. In reality, they're still following their desires because they're only following that aspect of the truth because they like that. and it's in accordance with what they want. This is not the way of a believer. A believer, he complies to the commands of Allah, whether he likes that or whether it's suitable for his desires or whims or fitting his circumstances and situation or hers and the likes like this. This is the way of a believer as assessed in this life. So there are desires. They're called hawa. They're called hawa. And the one who follows them, they will lead him into the hellfire. Waliyadhu billah. And the opposite of al-hawa, and that which is contrary entirely to al-hawa, is called al-huda. And this is what Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he was sent with. And Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, arsalahu Allahu bil-huda. Allah, he sent him with huda, guidance. With guidance, with beneficial knowledge, with detailed clarification of that which is allowed and that which is permissible and that which is good and that which is wholesome, from creed and from belief and from statement and action and deed, and likewise detailed guidance of that which is foul and that which is filthy and that which is evil and that which is impermissible and not allowed, from creed and from belief and from statement and action and deed, in every circumstance and behavior and manners and contracts and dealings, in business and trade, and in marriage and divorce, and in bearing children, and the likes like this, and actions of worship. There is detailed guidance of that which is good and allowed, and that which is impermissible and foul. And in the way of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, هو الذي أرسل رسوله بالهدى ودين الحق. It is Allah who sent his messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with guidance and the religion of truth. Guidance al-ilm al-nafi' and the religion of truth, al-amal al-salih. And this is the means of success, my noble sister, that you have beneficial knowledge and you have the application of that and the implementation of that, which would be the righteous action. And this is the religion of truth that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was sent with. And everything that is contrary to that is called hawa. This is hawa. Following desires and following whims. Waliyadhu billah. Hawa and jahl and ignorance. And ignorance. The Prophet, he was sent with light. He was sent with knowledge. He was sent with guidance. Contrary to that is darkness, is deviation, is innovation, is misguidance and ignorance and desires and desires. We ask Allah the most kind and most merciful to guide our hearts and to protect us from following our desires and to make us from those who know his guidance and learn his guidance and prefer his guidance, subhanahu wa ta'ala, and follow that. So this is the case. So by learning, my noble sister, may Allah bless you, the guidance of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and applying that, one can be upon guidance themselves. And by opposing that or being in contradiction to that or turning away from that or not preferring that, then a person, he will only be following his desires. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he has clarified this in his book, in his statement, فَإِنْ لَمْ يَسْتَجِيبُوا لَكَ فَاعْلَمْ أَنَّمَا يَتَّبِعُونَ أَهْوَاءَهُمْ. And Allah, he says, and if they do not respond to you, O Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, by believing you and following you and taking you as a role model and complying to your commandments and avoiding your prohibitions, if they do not respond to you, O Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, fa'alam, then you should know, annama yattabi'una ahwa'ahum, that they are only following their desires. So we have two cases here. Either we will respond to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and believe in him and follow him and comply to his commandments and take him as a role model and abide by his way and prefer that sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, or we will follow our desires. Or we will follow our desires. So the people, they are either following the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam ala huda, upon guidance, or they're following their desires, or they are following their ahwa. Waliyadhu billah, waliyadhu billah. So this is the reality of the affair. We have to be careful not to follow our desires. We have to be careful not to want something so much that we search for a reason and an avenue to make it permissible by misinterpreting the text of the Quran and the Sunnah. And this is what is happening today and has been happening for years. And from the people who are deviant, they have foul intentions. Those foul intentions, many times, what produces them and what is the means to bring them is this desire and this whims. This desire, this hawa, and the whims and this thing that's in the soul that refuses to comply and refuses to submit and rejects to to admit and to accept the truth and application. So this is something that is very serious. So the one who transgresses the limits and allows their desires to overcome their soul until they transgress the limits, and they die in that manner, وَلِيَذُ بِاللَّهِ, they're threatened with the hellfire. But as for those who strive against their souls and fight their souls and prohibit their souls from that which is impermissible, even though maybe they lust that, their soul desires that, they fight it whenever this desire is impermissible, then they have the promise of paradise. Allah, He says, فَأَمَّا مَنْ طَغَى وَآثَرَ الْحَيَاةَ الدُّنْيَا فَإِنَّ الْجَحِيمَ هِيَ الْمَأْوَى. And as for the one who transgressed the limits and preferred the worldly life, then indeed the hellfire will be their abode and place of residence. وَمَّا مَنْ خَافَ مَقَامَ رَبِّهِ وَنَهَى النَّفْسَ عَنِ الْهَوَى فَإِنَّ الْجَنَّةَ هِيَ الْمَأْوَى. And as for the one who fears standing before his Lord, who fears standing before his Lord, and prohibited his soul from the hawa, from the lusts and desires that are impermissible and not allowed, فَإِنَّ الْجَنَّةَ هِيَ الْمَأْوَى. Then indeed, the Jannah will be their abode and their residence to abide in forever. Forever. So this is the case, the obligation of prohibiting one's soul from the hawa. And this is from the greatest obligations and the greatest jihad and striving in the path of Allah Azza wa Jal, jihadun nafs. To strive against one's soul. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he mentioned in an authentic narration, Al-Mujahid man jahada nafsahu fi ta'atillah, that the true fighter, the true striver, the one who is fighting in the path of Allah, the one who is truly fighting in the path of Allah, man jahada nafsahu fi ta'atillah, the one who strives against his own soul to be obedient to Allah. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he mentioned in another authentic narration, Al-Muhajir man hajara ma naha Allahu anhu, the one who is truly migrating to Allah and seeking His pleasure, he is the one who has left off and turned away from that which Allah has made impermissible. This is the one who is a true mujahid, and this is the one who is a true muhajir, a true fighter in the path of Allah, in the cause of Allah, and the one who is truly migrating in the path of Allah in this manner is the one who strives against their own soul to establish the obligation and perform the actions of obedience, and to stay away from that which is impermissible. If we look in our society now, we will see that the society is cultivated and raised and established upon disbelief to Allah and His Messenger, and likewise disobeying them and following desires. The Western way and the foundation of pop culture is to follow your desires, to do what is appealing to you and to make it happen like that. This is the way. So this is contrary to Huda, the Huda that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was sent with. So we should not be deceived by the pop culture or by the Western culture or the American way or the European way or the way of the non-Muslims and the likes like this, because that is the way of following whims and desires and following lusts that land in the hellfire, that land a person to the hellfire. So do not be deceived by the customs and the cultures that we live in. My noble sister, you have been honored and you have been raised and elevated and honored, a great honor, with the fact that you are Muslim. You have been favored with al-Islam and with the knowledge of Allah and His Tawheed and the Sunnah of the Messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and honored with the knowledge of the methodology and the way of the Sahaba and the likes radiallahu anhum. So do not belittle yourself By imitating the enemies of Allah and following their way. Rather strive against your soul, my sister, to be obedient. Strive against your soul, my sister, to learn the truth. And this is the first step in jihad in nafs. And to jahidi nafsaki, ya ukhti al-kirima, ala ta'allum al-huda. Ala ta'allum al-haqi wal-huda. That you strive against your soul, my noble sister, to learn the guidance and to learn the truth. This is the first step in striving against your soul. And to jahidi nafsaki ala ta'allum al-haqi wal-huda. That you strive against your soul diligently with a beautiful intention for the sake of Allah to learn in order to apply it, to learn the truth and to learn the guidance with its proof and with its evidence, to be upon clarity in your religion. ثُمَّ تُجَاهِدِ نَفْسَكِ عَادَ الْعَمَلِ بِهَادَ الْحَقِّ وَالْهُدَى. That you strive against your soul after that to apply and implement that truth and that guidance that you have learned. If you reach this level, Allahu Akbar, Alhamdulillah. And then you strive to maintain that and to be upon that and live upon that until you die upon that. And along with that path, after you reach this level, may Allah bless you. And to jahidi nafsaki ala ta'limi man la ya'lam al-haq wal-huda. Yani min al-jahilat. That you strive also after that to teach those women who do not know. To teach those sisters who do not know, and to benefit them with the knowledge and the actions that you have learned. ثُمَّ أَن تُجَاهِدِ نَفْسَكِ عَلَى الصَّبْرِ عَلَى ذَلِكَ حَتَّى تَأْتِيَكِ الْمَنِيَّةِ. And then you strive along with that to maintain these affairs until death comes to you in that manner, while your Lord is pleased with you. While your Lord is pleased with you. And the evidence for these levels of striving against the soul is a statement of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Bismillahi ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Wal asr. Inna al-insana lafi khusr. Illa alladhina amanu wa amilu salihat. Wa tawasaw bilhaq. Wa tawasaw bilsabr. So this is the advice, my noble sister, to strive against your soul, to learn the guidance of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in detail, and beginning with that which is obligatory with regards to you specifically, and then to strive against yourself to implement that and to apply that sincerely, seeking the pleasure of Allah, in your life daily, in your home, and wherever you may be. And whatever you may face, that you restrict yourself and confine yourself to the legislation, to the laws and the regulations and the limits that are found in the way of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in the sharia that he was sent with. And the sharia that he was sent with sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And if you reach this level, may Allah help you reach that level and be the best of them, then you begin to help others as well. And you must strive and be patient upon that way. Yani learning and applying and teaching. In this manner you have a lofty and high status. May Allah grant you success. There were some inquiries and some misunderstandings that some people may have, and misusage of some of the issues in the religion to make it evidence and proof for some of the women to leave their home and to go into society and to go to school and to get a job. And even some of them say the proof that they can specifically become business women. The introduction is suitable for this, that we should be careful not to follow our desires. We should be careful not to follow our whims. And even worse, to do that to the extent that a person will look into the deen of Allah and try to misinterpret something to be in accordance with what they want. So the fact that a woman has money, or the fact that she learns, this is all mentioned that it's allowed and permissible. Even if she had a job, it's not impermissible for her to have a job, but this is not the foundation and the fundamental, and this is not the asl in this affair. Rather, what was mentioned in the previous class is the asl, and we will discuss more details about that, insha'Allah ta'ala. So the talk in the previous class was for those sisters who have the idea that they want to be a career woman, that they think that they want to go out and be a career woman. And this was the refutation of the Shaykh. For those people who have this ideology, that they want to leave their home and leave what they were created for, they want to go into the field, and they want to go into the schools, and they want to mix with the men, and they want to cooperate with the men, and they want to go alongside the men. Rather, they want to compete with the men, and even sometimes proceed in front of them in these affairs like this and the likes like this. And this is all not befitting for a believing woman. So that which was mentioned previously are the fundamentals and the foundations of that affair. So no doubt there are exceptions and the likes like that. And inshallah, we discuss some of them in the classes to come. So somebody may say, well, what about a woman who was divorced and she has no guarding and no protector? Then she'll be forced to work. We'll say, then maybe at this circumstance, she'll be forced to work. But even then, it's not allowed for her to go mix with the men or to take off her hijab. And this would only be for the time whenever it's needed, so on and so forth. So some people that are using these exceptions that may come to follow their desires and to leave their homes and to go into schools and to mix with the men and to be a fitna in the society, and then to go into the jobs and to mix with the men and to be a fitna in the society. And this is not allowed, and it's not from Islam. And it's not from Islam, and it's not permissible, it's not pleasing to Allah. So this is what we discuss. So some people, they have said, well, our mother Khadija radiallahu anha, she was a businesswoman, so therefore we can all be businesswomen. We can all be businesswomen. So no doubt, and what is well known in the seerah of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is that Khadija, she was a businesswoman. And this is before she got married to him sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And it's also mentioned that she was from the most noble and honorable of her tribe, and that she was also from the most wealthy, that she had either inherited some money or from her family or from her previous husbands and the likes like this. In any case, she was wealthy, radiallahu anha, and also she was known for nobility, and also she was known for virtue and for respect and having honor in her reputation. So this is the case here with regards to our mother Khadija radiallahu anha before Islam. And what is mentioned about her and her people of Quraysh radiallahu anha is that they used to be businessmen. And it's well known that they had business trips in the summer and in the winter time. And sometimes they would go to Sham, and other times they would go to Yemen. So some of the people who are misguided either by following their whims and their desires or just being severely ignorant, they take this as a proof that the woman, she can go into society and she can mix with the men, and she can sit beside them in the classrooms and walk beside them in the jobs and walk under them in corporations and the likes like this. And this is all falsehood, and this is all incorrect, and this is wrong. And the issue of Khadija bint Khuwaylid radiallahu anha is not a proof for them, rather it's a proof against them. Rather, it's a proof against them, because our mother radiallahu anha, she was noble, and she did not mix with the men, and she did not mix with the men. And I read to you, my noble sister, from one of the most famous biographies of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Sirah ibn Hisham. Sirah ibn Hisham, and it's mentioned here about Khadija radiallahu anha. وَكَانَتْ خَدِيجَةُ بِنْتُ خُوَيْلِدْ إِمْرَأَةً تَاجِرَةً ذَاتَ شَرَفٍ وَمَالٍ. That Khadija bin Khuwaylid radiallahu anha, she was a businesswoman, and she had lots of nobility and wealth. تَسْتَأْجِرُ الرِّجَالِ فِي مَالِهَا وَتُضَارِبُهُمْ إِيَّاهُ بِشَيْءٍ تَجْعَلُهُ لَهُمْ. This is what she used to do. This is her aspect of being a businesswoman radiallahu anha. She used to employ the men. She would make istijar, like to pay them to perform certain tasks for her. So she would pay the men with her wealth, وَتُضَارِبُهُمْ إِيَّاهُ, meaning she would have the wealth radiallahu anha, and she would give it to individuals that she deemed to be trustworthy and deemed to be knowledgeable in the affairs of business, and they would take that money and they would go do business with it, and they would have a well-known portion or an agreed-upon portion of the profit of that wealth. And this is how she did business. So to use this issue here for the fact that it's allowed for a woman to go out into the society and to deal with the men and to talk with the men and to walk with the men and to sit with the men and to drink coffee and tea with the men and to take orders from the men, not to mention the disbelieving from them, وَلِيَذُ بِاللَّهِ, and then to sit and learn under them and to sit in front of them and to mix in the classrooms with them and the likes like this, and then to have an occupation with them, all the while leaving the home empty and leaving the children unattended and coming home tired and not being able to take care of the husband and give him his rights, which is responsible. All the other previous prohibitions and foul affairs that come about from this issue that the Shaykh mentioned that we read in our previous class, not to mention all of these affairs that come from that. This is not the case with Khadija radiallahu anha. This is not the case with, she was not mixing with the men. She was not riding on the camels with the men. She's not going and doing on the business trades with the men. She's not traveling with the men. She's not sitting with the men, radiallahu anha. Rather, she was more noble than that and better than that and more virtuous than that. And she had piety and chastity. And she had chastity even before she was a Muslimah. So how about after she was a Muslimah, radiallahu anha? She's going to be married to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and going out like these women go out to do business, a businesswoman like that? That's not the case. That's not the case. She was not like that. She was not, wallahi, she was not like that, sister. Rather, she used to have money and she would give the money to a man or individuals, and they would take that money on an agreement that they would use it to do business and make profit from that money, and they would have a specific share of that wealth. So she would give them the money, they would even do business and come back and bring her the profit and take their portion that they agreed upon. that they agreed upon. So this is the businesswoman. This is our mother Khadija radiallahu anha, the businesswoman. This is not the case. This is not an evidence or proof for what we see today. This is not an evidence or proof for what we see today. So we should be aware of that. We should be aware of that, my noble sisters. Likewise, some of the people, they mentioned that, the reason why many of the women, they want to go get an education in order to have an occupation is because they see their mothers being divorced and being left and not having anyone to fend for them or take care of them. And the likes like this. And because the divorce rate is so great. And we say that, no doubt, today we see that the divorce rate is great and the likes. This is something that is known. But many times it leads back to the likes of these affairs, because the people, they have these understandings. They have the understandings of the Westerners, and they have the ideologies of the Westerners, and they want to be living the American dream, and they want to have these affairs that are contrary to the legislation and contrary to the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So therefore their homes fall apart. Their homes fall apart because inside of their homes they're not upon the Sunnah. They're not upon the way of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Many times not even in creed. Not even in creed, not even in belief, not even in methodology, not even worship, not even in the prayer. Many of them, they don't even pray like the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam prayed. So the fact that their families fall apart, this is a result of their ignorance and lack of concern and care for the legislation and the deen of Allah and the commandments and the prohibitions of Allah. And this is the case. Many times we find that the woman, she'll be divorced because she has foul manners and she speaks to her husband in a lowly way. Not just sometimes, but rather she raises her voice to him a lot. And even some of them, they will act like men and they will start to hit their husbands and beat them and the likes like this if they don't get their way or if something doesn't go right in their home. Or they'll raise their voice and they'll belittle them, so on and so forth. So a woman like that, she can't expect except to get divorced. She can't expect except to get divorced. So if she's constantly rude and has the foul and lowly manners, then what would one expect? And then no doubt, many times the men, they're the problem likewise. And the men, they are the problem likewise. But this class is for the sisters. This class is for the sisters. And the problem is the same. The men, they themselves are not following the Sunnah. And they're not upon the manners and the etiquettes of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And no home is free from problems and free from disputes and the likes like this. But the one who got married in the first place to seek the pleasure of Allah, to build a family upon the path that leads to Allah, of obedience and Allah, and the likes like this is what they're looking from each other and hoping from each other, that they will complement each other and help each other to establish the deen of Allah in their life so they can go to Jannah together and they can raise a family upon piety and righteousness together. Those who have this intention, and then they learn the manners and the etiquettes of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They learn how to solve disputes and to deal with them in the best manner. And they learn how to have etiquettes and manners in the home. Again, many times the divorce, it comes because of this. The male and the female, both of them, they do not abide by the Islamic manners and etiquettes. They don't have that al-adab al-shar'iyya in their homes and in their dealings with each other and with their family members. So therefore, corruption and dissension and the likes falls into the home and falls into the hearts, and then there's separation, and then there is calamities and problems and trials and the likes like this. So to first get married with a beautiful intention, and to agree upon that, and this is what one will look for a spouse for. This is what one will look for a spouse for, the one that was going to help them. And the likes like this, many times this type of person, they will not have divorce. They will not have divorce. So the fact that many people are getting divorced, this is not any a proof or an evidence, because other people, they're not getting divorced. So to delve into affairs that are not permissible and not allowed with the proof that maybe there's going to be a divorce if she gets married, this is not an evidence. This is something that possibly might happen, and it possibly might not happen likewise. So many of the people who strive to be upright, male and female, and they work together upon the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Allah, he solves their disputes for them. And their families, they stay together. And they're not living in divorce and the likes like this. So many times this is the case, my noble sister. So this is not a proof or an evidence. This is not a proof or an evidence. So again, the issue of going out of the house to study and going out of the house to become a career woman and the likes like this, this has been discussed by more than one great scholar from our era. We have seen what the great scholar Ahmad ibn Yahya al-Najmi, Ahmad ibn Yahya al-Najmi, Sheikh Ahmad al-Najmi, rahimahullah, what he mentioned previously. And if we look in the fatwa of the greatest scholars of our day, the greatest scholars of our day, like Sheikh Ibn Baz, or in the fatwa of Sheikh Uthaymeen, or in the fatwa of Sheikh Al-Albani, or the fatwa of Sheikh Mubil, rahimahum Allah, or the fatwa of Sheikh Fawzan, or of Sheikh Suleiman al-Ruhaili, or any of the well-known upright scholars of the Sunnah today, they're all in agreement with this affair. They're all in agreement with this affair. So this is something that we should be cautious from. We should be leery from following our desires and following our whims, and opposing the reason and purpose while we're created, and disobey our Creator in turn. وَلِيَذُ بِاللَّهِ It has come in the لَجْنَ الدَّائِمَ a fatwa, that it was asked about this. So the fatwa says, صَدَرَتْ مِنْكُمْ فَتْوَى فِيمَا يَخُصُّ عَمَلَ الْمَرْأَةِ فِي مَكَانِ الْإِخْتِلَاطِ هَلْ يَحْرُمُ كَذَلِكَ عَلَى الطَّالِبَةِ الَّتِي تَدْرُسُ فِي مَدَارِسِ الْمُخْتَلِطَةِ So the question mentions about the Lajna Da'ima, that they have issued a fatwa declaring it to be impermissible for the woman to work in a place where she's mixed with the men. So obviously this fatwa already reached the questioner. Then they already know that a fatwa has been established that it's not allowed for the woman to go work in the field where she's mixed with other men, where she's mixed with strange men and the likes like this. And he, not to mention if those strange men are disbelievers, not to mention this part. Also, along with that, is it also haram and impermissible for a female student to study in the schools that are mixed as well? So they respond, the Lajna Da'ima and the leader or the president of the Lajna at this time, the Board of Major Scholars, was Sheikh Abdul Aziz ibn Baz, rahimahullahu ta'ala. So he mentions Madar al-Man'i min ikhtilat al-nisa'i bil-rijal huwa khashyatu al-fitna. This portion right here should be sufficient, my noble sister. The prohibition of the women mixing with the men, it revolves around the fear of falling into fitna. The reason for the prohibition of the man and the woman mixing in school, in middle school, or in high school, or in the university, or in the tech school, or in the field, and the job, and the likes like this, is out of fear of the fitna and the trials occurring. وَأَنْ يَكُونَ ذَرِيعَةً إِلَى الْتِكَابِ الْفَاحِشَةِ And that this will be the means that will lead to perpetrating and committing actions of indecency, meaning fornication. وَانْتِحَاكِ الْمَحَرَّمَاتِ وَفَسَادِ الْمُجْتَمِعِ And likewise that the other prohibitions and forbidden affairs will be perpetrated and committed. The rights of Islam will be violated and corruption will spread in the society. So this is the reason for the impermissibility of this affair. Now if we just take a step back, and listening to what he's mentioning, why they said it's impermissible for the men and the women to mix in the job, and likewise why it's impermissible for the men and the women to mix in the school. Before that, he says in the school, وَقَدْ تَكُونُ هَذِهِ الْأُمُورَ أَشَدَّ تَحَقُّقًا فِي اخْتِلَاطِهَا فِي التَّعْلِيمِ فَكَانَ حَرَامًا And these affairs will be even more severe. And these affairs would be realized even more in mixing in the field of education. And even more than it is in the job, these affairs, it's more possible and probable that it would occur, and it's feared to occur even more in the realm of education than it is in the realm of occupation. So therefore, it's impermissible likewise. If we step back now and we look in our previous dawra that we just had with our noble youth, and the questions that they presented, and the fact that many of them, they're forced to go mix in the public schools. Some of the questions mentioned that there's a youth that was 12 years old, forced to mix in a public school. At the age of 12, they were committing fornication. And they asked about the way out from that. And they asked about how to repent from that. If that's the case for a 12 years old, this is what is occurring whenever they're mixing in the school here. How about whenever they get older and the likes like this? No doubt, that which is feared occurs. That's why it's prohibited. That's why it's haram, because that will happen. This is something that is not maybe happen, might not happen. No, it's something that's happening, we're witnessing. Rather, some of our children are doing it. May Allah protect our children. May Allah protect our children. May Allah guide us and our children. But this is the case. So the fact that the women mix with the men in the schools, then this is not allowed. And likewise in the job. And likewise in the job. So this is something that we should take sincerely. Likewise another fatwa, likewise from the Lajna Daima. The questioner mentions that she studies in a high school that's mixed. And they're not obtaining knowledge of the legislation, beneficial knowledge. And on top of that, or in addition to that, all of the high schools, they're like this in this matter, mixed. So therefore, is it permissible to complete the studies in these circumstances? And since there's nowhere else to study, all of the high schools are mixed. And is it obligatory to stop studying? And what is the ruling with regards to studying for the young women in this time? So the fatwa, it says, دِرَاسَةُ الْمَرْأَةِ لِلْعُلُومِ الشَّرْعِيَّةِ وَغَيْرِهَا مِمَّا تَحْتَاجُ إِلَيْهِ الْمَرْأَةُ أَوْ يُعِينُهَا عَلَى مَعْرِفَةِ أُمُورِ دِينِهَا مَشْرُوعًا. The fact that the woman, she studies the legislative knowledge, and other than that, from that which she needs, that which the woman needs, and that or that which will help her to understand the affairs of her religion, this is legislated for her to learn. إِذَا لَمْ يَتَرَتَّبْ عَلَيْهَا مَحْذُورٌ شَرْعِي. If no legislative prohibition will come about by way of that. If no legislative prohibition will come about by way of that, then it's legislated. As for if the prohibition it will be established by her embarking upon that affair, now it's not going to be permissible. أَمَّا إِذَا تَرَتَّبَ عَلَيْهَا مَحْذُورٌ شَرْعِي كَالِاخْتِلَاطِ بِالرِّجَالِ غَيْرِ الْمَحَارِمِ وَعَدِمِ الْحِجَابِ فَإِنَّهَا لَا تَجُوزُ لِأَنَّ هَذِهِ أُمُورٌ مُحَرَّمَةٌ وَلِأَنَّ ذَلِكَ يُؤَدِّي الْفَسَادِ. So as for if she has in her seeking knowledge, whether it's legislated knowledge or whether it's of the worldly affair, would lead her to falling into that which is impermissible in the legislation, like mixing with men that are not from her mahadim, or like not wearing the proper covering and hijab, then this is not permissible. And that is because these affairs here are haram. Mixing with the men are haram. And going out of the home not dressed properly is haram. And because this, it leads to corruption. And because this, it leads to corruption. So this is the affair. Whenever there are issues that we're faced with in our life, it's incumbent for us to return to the Quran and to the Sunnah. It's incumbent for us to return to the methodology of the Sahaba, radiallahu anhum. It's incumbent for us to return back to the reliable people of knowledge, if we do not know, and that we ask them for the ruling. And this is what Allah, He has ordered. فَاسْأَلُوا أَهْلِ الذِّكْرِ إِن كُنْتُمْ لَا تَعْلَمُونَ. And ask the people of knowledge if you do not know. So if we do not know about whether it's allowed for the women in these days to go mix in the school with the men or not, then we have to ask the people of knowledge. And whenever we do that, we find that they all say that it's not permissible. We find that they all say that it's not permissible. And so a woman, could she still get an education? Yes, she still could, but she would not go out and mix in the public, and she would not go sit next to a man in a school and the likes like this, whether she would do that from her home or in an environment where it's allowed and permissible, where there's no mixing and the likes like this. And then even in the first place, what is incumbent upon her first and foremost is to learn that which she is obligatory upon her in one day and one night, and that which she must know in order to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and that which she must know in order to avoid the anger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, so that she can be upright in herself and then in her home and in her society, and be a means of benefit for her family. And the likes like this. Many of these sisters, they are hastening to go learn the knowledge in this manner that's impermissible, and they have not even yet learned the basics of their religion. Many of them, their prayer is not proper nor correct, neither is their hijab, neither is their understanding, neither is their creed. And some of them, even if you ask them the meaning of La ilaha illallah, they'll misinterpret that. But they dedicate their life and to go out and to get this job and get this occupation and the likes like this. So this is not proper or befitting, my noble sister, to be in this manner. Rather, showing preference to the religion and showing preference to the deen and showing preference to your obligations, showing preference to preparing for the hereafter. This takes precedence. This takes precedence. And then after that, if a woman, for example, she had some money or she inherited some money and the likes like this, or if she has some knowledge of business and the likes like that, she can embark upon that way in a manner that is allowed for her and permissible. In a manner that is allowed for her and permissible without violating the rights of her religion, without perpetrating the prohibitions and falling into the indecent way in their lives like this by mixing with the people and being foul. Whether she will do it in a manner that's allowed for her and permissible, and if she can't do it in any other way except haram, she will avoid that and leave that. She would avoid that and leave that. So some people, they think that the woman, she can do whatever she likes. She can have any type of job she wants. And again, if we were to ask the people of knowledge, they will say differently. From them, Shaykh Ibn Baz, rahimahullahu ta'ala, again, he was asked about this affair and about the fact that a woman, she will get a job in like physics, or she will study physics, or she will study geology and the likes like this. And the Shaykh, he responded about this affair. لَيْسَ لِلْمَرْأَةِ أَتَخَصُّصْ فِيمَا لَيْسَ مِنْ شَأْنِهَا. It's not allowed. This is going back to the education. The woman, she can seek an education, no doubt, in the manner that's allowed, in the manner that's permissible, without violating the legislation, without falling into that which is impermissible. Now she can seek knowledge, whether she's encouraged to, especially the knowledge of her religion. But as for the worldly knowledge, then what does he say? لَيْسَ لِلْمَرْأَةِ تَخَصُّصُ فِيمَا لَيْسَ مِنْ شَأْنِهَا. Then it's not allowed for the woman to major, to seek out a major, and to specialize in a certain type of knowledge that is not from her affair. That is not from her affair. And it's not related to her specifically. It's not from the affairs of the woman. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he mentioned that for like this likewise, مِنْ حُسْنِ إِسْلَامِ الْمَرْءِ تَرْكُهُ مَا لَا يَعْنِيهِ. From the good Islam of a person is that they leave off that which doesn't concern them. So there are affairs from knowledge and worldly majors and the likes like this, they don't concern a Muslim woman whatsoever. They do not concern a Muslim woman whatsoever. So he says, rahimahullah, وَأَمَامَهَا الْكَثِيرُ مِنَ الْمَجَالَاتِ أَلَتِي تُنَاسِبُ مَعَهَا مِثْلَ الدِّرَاسَاتِ الْإِسْلَامِيَّةِ وَقَوَاعِدِ اللُّغَةِ الْعَرَبِيَّةِ وَأَمَّا التَّخَصُّصَاتِ الْكِيمِيَّةِ وَالْهَنْدَسَةِ وَالْعِمَارَةِ وَالْفَلَكِ وَالْجِغْرَافِيَةِ فَلَا تُنَاسِبُهَا. So there are, along with that, this is not allowed for her to study in the affairs and to gain to seek the knowledge of these different sciences that do not relate to her and it's not from that which concerns her. And she has in front of her many fields that she can study and learn from, like the Islamic studies and like the principles of the Arabic language. And as for those majors and those different sciences like chemistry and like engineering and like building and like astrology and like geography, then this is not suitable for her. وَيَنْبَغِي أَن تَخْتَارَ مَا يَنْفَعُ مُجْتَمِعَهَا. And it's incumbent for her, if she's going to study, yani, that she would pick some type of science and knowledge that's going to benefit her community. It's going to benefit her community, her society. كَمَا أَنَّ الرِّجَالَ يَعُدُّونَ لَهَا مَا يَخُصُّهَا مثل الطب النسائي والولادة وغيرها. Like the men, they should prepare for her the affairs that's specific to her, and so that she can learn the female medicine, the medicine that's specific to the women and giving birth and the likes like this and other than that. And again, this knowledge here would only be allowed for her to study and to learn if she's not doesn't have to fall into that which is impermissible. If she doesn't have to fall into that which is impermissible. As for if she's going to learn, for example, say she's going to say, no, I don't want to learn geography. I don't want to learn engineering. I don't want to learn, these things don't concern me. I agree. And then she says she wants to learn how to deliver babies and to be a female doctor and the likes like this. Then still she would only be allowed to do that if she can pursue that knowledge and without violating the rights of her religion, without violating the limits of her religion. As for is if she would be forced to violate the limits of her religion, for example, mixing with non-mahram or taking loans that have interest or other aspects of fasad, even if she didn't take a loan with interest, even if her family paid for her, for example, she would still be leaving her home and mixing with the men. That's not allowed for her. And the likes like this, and the people of knowledge, they have mentioned this as well. And Shaykh Al-Adani, rahimahullah, he has a fatwa likewise about this affair. And he was asked, rahimahullah ta'ala, about the sisters that they go to the university that is mixed, but keep in mind that they wear the proper Islamic clothing. So this question was presented to Shaykh Al-Albani, rahimahullah, about the woman studying in the mixed colleges. and at the same time she wears the proper Islamic clothing. So the Sheikh, he responded, and I summarize this answer because it's long. It's long. So he says, and he mentions that if we just imagine, and okay, we say that, okay, she wears the proper Islamic clothing, alhamdulillah. She wears the proper Islamic clothing, but he says from the most despicable and lowly images that we could imagine is that there will be a young Muslim woman covered properly and the likes like that sitting next to a young man with his face shaved. A young man in the garments of the Europeans, of the Westerners, 100%. And then the only thing that gathers them together and brings them into this same place at the same time is the fact that they want to study in the university. So she'll be sitting next to this man in the lights like this. And so he's saying, this is first and foremost, just to imagine this. This is a lovely picture to think about, that there will be a noble Muslim woman covered properly. And upon her religion, and then she'll come to a place and then come and sit down next to that young man in that manner. And if he's a disbeliever, many times if things become even worse, and those young men, they're not going to just sit there and lower their gaze. They're going to try to make contact. They're going to try to talk. They're going to try to advance. At very minimum, they're going to say, "What are you wearing that for?" And then it goes from there. And many times, any things happen and they become buddies. And then we ask questions, "What do you do whenever this happens and that happens between the people?" Wallahu al-musta'an. So the Shaykh al-Albani, rahimahullah, he mentioned this beginning like this. And then he says, not to mention that the sciences that are studied in the likes of these universities, not to mention the knowledge that's being taught in these universities, it's not beneficial knowledge that's for the religion and for the sake of Allah. And then on top of that, the people, the majority of the people, male and female, those who have the intention to go study in these schools, all they want to do is get a job to have an occupation. All they want to do is to get a degree in order to get an occupation to have some type of career, whether it's major or minor. So this is what he mentioned here. So therefore, the whole thing that they're hoping to have from them mixing in the likes like this and violating this right of Islam, and putting the reputation in this manner, in a place where they can be accused, the only thing that they want to do with that is to get some money, to have a job, to have a certificate and a job, to get some money. This is the case for almost the majority of the people. This is the case for the majority of the people. So therefore, the knowledge is completely worldly knowledge, and then the intention is a completely worldly intention, and this is the case many times. This is the case many times. So they're only looking for the dunya. So therefore, indeed, it's not permissible for a woman to violate these rights and to mix and to come out of her home and to mix with the men in this manner like this for this intention and for this knowledge. And then the Shaykh al-Albani, rahimahullah ta'ala, he mentioned that, let's just say, for example, that somebody, he had a good intention. I want to learn this knowledge in order to benefit the Muslims. I want to learn this knowledge in order to benefit the Muslims. And they will say, for example, it's a collective obligation for some people to learn this type of knowledge. We'll say, for example, it's a collective obligation for a Muslim woman to learn how to give birth. For a woman to learn some type of medicine for the woman specifically, for example. I make the example like this. So the Sheikh is making the example of the woman. Now she has a good intention. She has a good intention like this. No, this is a collective obligation. So therefore she says she wants to learn this knowledge to fulfill that collective obligation. So now she's got a good intention in order to fulfill one of the obligations. So the Shaykh, he says, now if we look into the circumstances and the situation of this affair, yani even to perform something that is considered fard kifaya, it's not even an obligation upon everybody, rather it's a collective obligation. He said, if we look into the Muslims now, we find that there are two categories. The Muslims here, there are two categories. The first category are the righteous Muslims, the Muslims who are known for obedience and for piety and striving to be upright upon the straight path and to hold fast to the Sunnah. They have care and concern for their religion, and they have care and concern for the obligations and the prohibitions of Islam. They have care and concern for their honor and the respect of their deen, and they strive to establish that. So the one who is like this, he will never sacrifice mixing and falling into this great prohibition in order to perform something that's not even obligatory upon them. Rather, it's fard kifaya. It's a collective obligation. Not to mention that it will not be allowed. to fall into these haram things? Does the legislation allow you to perpetrate haram things in order to do something that's considered a collective obligation? The Shaykh, he says no. So the one who is pious and righteous and concerned with their religion, they will not embark upon this. Rather, they will see that this will require for them to perpetrate some of the things that are impermissible in their religion, so they will turn away from that. As for the second category of Muslims, with regards to the likes of these affairs, Sheikh Al-Albani, he mentioned, the second category, there are those Muslims who are negligent, those Muslims who are heedless, those Muslims who don't show great concern or care for the commandments and the prohibitions. And meaning, maybe they're from those Muslims that perpetrate some of these affairs and they consider it light. So they're the ones who are going to embark upon the likes of these jobs. Or there will be another category, and they're not necessarily negligent, but they're individuals who maybe they have some concern for their religion, but they follow some interpretations of the text. They have some interpretations of the text that they read them and they interpretate them into a manner that allows them in their view to go mix and to perpetrate these prohibitions in this manner like this. And Shaykh Al-Albani, rahimahullah, he mentions that these people here, although they have interpretations of these texts that we find and we believe that their interpretations have no value whatsoever. Have no value or no benefit or no weight in the scale of evidence whatsoever. Although maybe they could be excused. In any case, the second category, they're the ones that in the end are going to wind up fulfilling that collective obligation. So therefore, it's no need to be like this and to say, well, I want to go, I have a good intention, so I'm going to go to school, I'm going to mix with the men and women, and I'm going to sit and talk with the men and women that likes like this. Also, he mentioned not to mention that even if it's just for a moment, that the sister, she's going to have to be alone with the teacher sometime, or even alone with some of the students, and we know that they'll be put in groups and the likes like this, and they'll have to have contact and conversation, and they'll be forced to mix, and even sometimes be alone, and being alone with a non-mahram is from the khalwa al-muharrama. So this is also from the examples of the aspects of where she will fall into prohibitions, and she will fall into the things that are impermissible. And in order to do that, with the claim to establish a collective obligation is not allowed, not to mention that those negligent Muslims or those people who have misinterpreted understandings of the legislation, they're already going to establish that. They're already going to establish that. So sister, what you should strive to do is to learn your religion truthfully, to learn it good, to learn the obligations that are upon you properly, to learn the proper creed, to learn the proper belief, to learn the proper methodology, to learn the way to worship and to fulfill the obligations in your day and in your nighttime, to learn that which is specific to you properly, especially if you're young, in order to be a good role model whenever you get married, for your husband and for your children. And I tell you from the bottom of my heart, sister, what this ummah needs, it needs mothers, righteous mothers. We need mothers who are righteous. We need ummahat salihat. We need ummahat salihat, ayyibat muallimat, karimat. We need righteous mothers, mothers who are concerned with that Islam, mothers who love Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, mothers who love the sunnah of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, mothers who comply to the command of Allah azza wa jal diligently. And no man is going to be perfect, but mothers who love Islam, mothers who care for the religion, mothers who have ta'zeem Allah in their hearts, they have magnification, ta'zeem hurumatillah in their hearts, they have cultivated the love and the honor and the respect and the veneration for the commandments and the prohibitions of Allah Azza wa Jal, and they love that. They love Islam and they want Islam to be established, and they know the way to do that. And they know the way to do that because they learned and they have light. This is what we need. This is what the ummah is in need of. And this is what the enemies of Islam are attacking now. Directly, they're attacking the Muslim woman to corrupt the Muslim home, to destroy Islam. This is from the plots and plans. This is from the traps and snares of shaitan and the enemies of Islam. And it has been that way for some time. So we need for the Muslim woman to wake up and to strive to be an upright Muslim mother. We need Muslim mothers who can cultivate and raise their children properly. Muslim mothers who can teach their child the Fatiha and can teach their own child, just Amma, and maybe even help teach other childs likewise, to teach their child the Tahara and to teach their child the Salat and to teach their child the Tashahud, teach their child Dua and Istiftah. We need women who are righteous and can do this and will do that and stay in their house and do that and stay in their home and do that and keep their children safe from the ills of the society and from the calamities that we're facing today. We need righteous mothers. We need righteous mothers. We need righteous Muslimat, Ummahat, Muslimat, Salihat. This Ummah is in need of the likes of this. Likewise, the Aba. Again, no doubt, we need the righteous fathers as well. But now, the talk is directed to you, my sister. The talk is directed to you, my sister. We have to strive to be a righteous Muslim woman, and to be a righteous Muslim wife, and to be a righteous Muslim mother. This is a goal for you. This is a goal for you. If on that path you can have some money, alhamdulillah, you can multiply your money and gain profit without violating the rights of your religion and without sacrificing your honor and exposing yourself in a foul manner and the likes, alhamdulillah, do that. And then spend in the path of Allah and give charity and spend on your family. Alhamdulillah, give your husband some money for free, alhamdulillah, as a gift and a favor. Allahu Akbar, this is allowed. But that's not what you're created for. You're created for worship. And your worship is in your home and cultivating and raising your family and taking care of your husband and being the means of second and stability in the house and the likes like this. And our classes to come, we'll discuss in detail, bi'ithnillahi ta'ala, these affairs that are incumbent for the Muslim. And those are issues that the Shaykh mentioned in general and the previous class, inshallah, we'll touch on them in details with evidence from the Quran and from the Sunnah. May Allah grant you success, my noble sisters, and increase you all in beneficial knowledge and righteous actions. هذا وصلى الله على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم.